Blog Talk Radio.
When I got them, but I wasn't supposed to do any type of squatting or lifting or, you know, anything strenuous. And then I went to the market. And so after the market on Friday, I was in, like, bad shape, and I had taken the last of those meds. And I was basically down Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Down, and I, you know, got up and did a little bit yesterday, but not a whole lot. And it's been better today. And so I'm still trying to get a primary care doctor because, you know, when you turn 65, when I turned 65, the primary care doctor that I had through the military, they stopped seeing me that way. And so I had not gotten a new primary care doctor. And so I have to find one so that I can get this prescription, refilled and get on some type of regimen to restore. As I've looked online, you know, you can restore these things, but it's not a quick process. So I basically have to just stop irritating it. But, you know, prayerfully that we'll get that handled and keep it moving, because we really don't have time to be sick. But I praise Yah throughout it all. Had to call on him a few times because, you know, I've not felt pain like that before. And where your hip and your back just don't want to work. You know, just don't want to let you do what you want to do. You get up and you try to do anything, and whether it's even sitting up. And so we'll see how long we last here tonight. Maybe I'll cut this down to about an hour, hour 15 minutes, what have you. Try not to sit in this chair too long. Nevertheless, we pray that all is well with everyone. Let me turn my speaker on. Pray all is well with everyone and that you are ready to eat from the Word of the Most High. Okay. With that being said, let's do our statement of faith. I believe that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us read the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Heavenly Father a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah to you, Father. Glory to your name. Glory, 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 glory. Glory to your name, Father. Glory to you. Hallelujah. We just thank you on today. Hallelujah. And we lift you up and we magnify your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Any men listening, uncover your heads. Blog Talk is back up, and we're still going to be moving away from this. I think they charged my card again. They were supposed to give a credit. So I am going to have to call them and talk to them about that to get the credit back, get that charge back, and plus the credit. But we're going to be moving to our Hebrew Connect here real soon. All right. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right, let me check something here. Thought I had gone into the studio. Yes. Okay. All right, so we are continuing tonight in the Word of Yah, Part 3. And we're going to be looking at on this night, the commandments that are found within the New Testament. And then we're going to talk about the one that specifically is not found in the New Testament, specifically the fourth commandment concerning the Sabbath day and why it's not there. And then we're going to be moving on. We should be, we still may not finish this particular lesson tonight. So let us do this. Let us talk about this for a second. The commandments that are in the New Testament, and they're talking about the law, the Torah, the Ten Commandments, the Ten Instructions as given to Moses. One of the things that I want to, you know, in the future that I want to deal with concerning the laws and concerning, you know, even concerning Elohim. I've been looking into the Dead Sea Scrolls. And the Dead Sea Scrolls are copies, a copy of the Bible that is about 1,000 years older than the current copy that we have. And there are some things within it, within some of the scriptures, that if the Dead Sea Scroll is older and closer to the source, then there are some mistranslations within the Bible that I want to talk about here coming up soon. And then, you know, they present some things that may throw some people off of, I think it may offend some people, but I think that if it's presented the right way, and that if it is, if we look at it for what the scriptures are saying, it's kind of amazing because we read about these gods in the Bible, like Molech and Chemosh and Ishtar and those things. And there are a couple of verses that, according to the Dead Sea Scrolls and the copy of the Bible in it, that we may be misinterpreting some things. Nevertheless, you know, from what the Most High has shown me, even within this, that he's still the Most High. And so, you know, we'll look at this at another time, but, you know, it's one of the places that, one of the things that the Most High has been putting on my heart as I was laying in the bed and reading and watching things, and, you know, even though I was hurting and down, my mind was still on him and his word.
He is now in the
Cancel. We're just going to mute you there, my sister. All right. So let us go to the book of Romans. And we're going to get verse Romans. Well, no, let us go to where I want to start here tonight. Let me just read what I have, and then we'll go from there. Nine of the Ten Commandments found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, are repeated in the New Testament numerous times, in different ways. For example, in giving a summary of our moral responsibility to one another, Messiah repeats four of the Ten Commandments to the young ruler in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 9. Let's go to Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 9. The book of Mark, chapter 10. And we're going to be getting verses 17 through 9. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And the Messiah said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is Elohim. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother." He answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Yahamashiach, behold him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way and sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me." Now, one of the things I just noticed in this verse, that when this young brother said that, you know, he had kept all these things, said that Messiah loved him. Beholding him, he loved him. But this young man loved his money. He didn't love Messiah, but Messiah loved him. And Messiah didn't tell him all 10 commandments. He didn't say anything about loving the Most High and not bowing down to any graven images, anything like that. He didn't give him those, but we know that those are automatic. And I know that there are certain pastors out there that will say that these are the only ones that that you have to keep. Because Messiah didn't say keep the Sabbath here, then a lot of Sunday worshipers feel like they don't have to keep the Sabbath. But same time, he doesn't mention, you know, don't have any other Elohims before the Father. Don't bow down to any images. Do not take his name in vain. And we know that we can't do those things either, that we have to honor those things. So the logic is flawed. When they say, well, all he told him is this is all he had to do. But Messiah, in that day, Messiah was keeping Sabbath, and so this young man also must have been keeping Sabbath, or Messiah probably would have told him, hey, you still got to do this. But nevertheless, those are some of the commandments that he mentioned to this young ruler. So the only commandment not really repeated is keeping the Sabbath. Okay, in the New Testament, you will find them keeping Sabbath, but you won't find it stated as a commandment in the New Testament that they have to keep it. Let's go to Romans chapter 13 and verse 9. Romans chapter 13 and verse 9. Now, Paul recites from the Decalogue, which is the Ten Commandments. A lot, okay. But in verse 9, he's saying, and when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, again, Paul and what Messiah was doing, because the first commandment is to, and the one that he left with the apostles, that you love one another as one of the first commandments. But it is automatically assumed that you are going to keep faith with Messiah. You're going to keep faith with the Most High. You're not going to have any other gods. Don't worship any idols, things like that. So people will look at these things and say, well, see, it's not mentioned here either. All right, so all of these are how to deal with your fellow man. Because the Most High says, How can you say you love me and hate your brother? How can you say you love me whom you cannot see and hate your brother whom you can see? And so the biggest thing is the Most High wants us to learn how to deal with one another and learn how to love one another. And, of course, we have to pay him his honor always. So when people try to nitpick these, if they, you know, they're using these verses, CCC, again, he's not mentioning the Sabbath, but again, you don't see anything about honoring Elohim here, okay? And we know that if you just use these verses, then you have completely forgotten about the Most High. All right, so these can't be taken as standalone. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 1. And we're going to get verses 8 through 10. First Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you.
Amen.
But we know that the law is good. If a man use it, how? The law is good if you use it out.
Yeah.
1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 10.
If we use them lawfully.
Lawfully. So you can use the law what? Unlawfully?
Yeah, you can.
You can not have an understanding of it. You can use it to burden people down and not help them with a way of keeping it. So the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for who? Verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. If you are righteous, meaning that you're keeping the law, then you don't really have to worry about the law. Why? Because nobody's going to bring any charges against you concerning the law. You're keeping it. You're righteous. But for the lawless, those who don't keep the law, that's who the law is for. And disobedient. For the ungodly and for sinners. For unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, and for men, men stealers, those are the slavers. Now they stole people in the name of Elohim. They stole us in the name of Elohim, our forefathers, that they were doing the work of the Most High. But so they were not doing his work. For men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed Elohim, which was committed to my trust. So the scriptures are saying that, hey, the law is for the lawless. You become lawless when you keep no law. You become unrighteous when you keep no law, when you break the laws. If you are righteous, is the law given to us to save us?
No. Yes.
The answer would be no. It's not given to us to save us. It's given to us to show us right from wrong, but the law cannot save us. Okay, it's given to show us the minimum standard of our behavior. And then from there, we have to, in the spirit of the law, go beyond those things and do what we are required to do, but the law cannot save us. So if we keep, because if we 100% kept the law and we were that way from birth, then we wouldn't have needed Christ. But the Most High said that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. So the law was to point us to Christ. That's its purpose, to point us to him. And the law shows us that we are sinners. Because at some point, in some way, there's something that we did not do, or we did, or even if we were guiltless in that regard, the fact that we were conceived in sin made us what? Sinners. Okay, so nobody can say that they were without sin. But the law was given to us to teach us sin is. And then when we look at it and we look at our own life, then everybody would have to say, okay, I need Messiah. If we're one of coming from under the law. Now, once we come to him, once we come to Messiah and we accept the gift of salvation and we are cleansed from our sins, if we did what we were supposed to do, then we didn't sin again, not knowingly. We didn't knowingly sin again. But we could have still sinned, and that by through what? Ignorance. And through that ignorance, then once we learned it, then we repented of it, and he is true and just to forgive us because we did it through ignorance. So it's not that we wouldn't sin again. The fact was that none of us came into this. I don't know anybody that came into this knowing fully well everything that they were getting into. I don't know anybody, including myself. Okay, and so once we learn, then we're supposed to repent of it, turn away from it, because that is the way he designed it. Okay, but the law was our, what, the scripture says the law was our, what, schoolmaster?
Our schoolmaster.
Teaching us. So then once we graduate, then we no longer need the, what, schoolmaster? But if you don't know the laws, as long as you're ignorant of the laws, and you still need to be taught by the law itself. And so when we learn the laws and know them, then we no longer need the schoolmaster, and we should be able to keep the laws through faith. And in our faith, that faith should be in Christ, in Messiah. So we don't want to sit on what he did for us.
Amen.
So that's our faith in him, that he came and he died for our sins. And we don't want to sit on what he did, so we keep the law to keep from offending him and sitting on what he did. But the church is teaching that, hey, you don't have to keep the law. So there is no way that you could offend him. But, you know, that's just not true. It's just not true. Okay. So we have Paul here, or Timothy here, in verses 1 through 10, verse 10, 9 and 10, really, saying what, mentioning some laws, and these really have to all do with how we treat our fellow man. Okay, but it's not all the laws, but those are coming from those laws that he's mentioning. Are they coming from Torah?
Yes, they are.
So they're not new, and the ones that Messiah mentioned, even though he didn't mention them all, were they coming from Torah?
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
Okay, so these are not new laws in the New Testament. These are not new concepts in the New Testament. So we know the scriptures say that the law is good if we use it, what, lawfully? Mm-hmm. And it's made for those who are actually, what, rebellious. What are they rebelling against? The laws of the Most High. Okay. So let's look at where we can find at least 9 of the Ten Commandments in the New Testament. And then we will, I will talk about Sabbath and why we don't find it specifically mentioned in the New Testament. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And we're going to be getting verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. Talking about this one in a different context in a few weeks. But, and when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
But to us, there is but how many Elohim?
One.
The Father, of whom are all things, and we in him. And one Lord or one Master, Yeshua HaMashiach, by whom are all things, and we by him. So in that we see that there is only what, one Elohim?
Yes.
So we shouldn't be worshiping any other Elohims, right?
Right.
1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Book of 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
For there is one Elohim and one mediator between Elohim and men. The man, Yeshua HaMashiach, or HaMashiach Yeshua. There is one Elohim and one mediator. Go to 1 John 5:21. Now, in those two verses, you can assume that you're not supposed to worship any other, you're not supposed to have any other God before Elohim.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to, now, it's not saying to not bow down to anything though, right?
Okay.
But if you bow down to something else, you're worshiping it.
Yeah.
If you bow down to something else, though, you're worshiping it, right?
Right.
So these are implied by the scriptures that there's one God, one Elohim, and we're not supposed to be bowing down to anything else. Go to 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5. And let's get verse 21. First John chapter 5, verse 21. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
And we know that the Son of Elohim is come and has given us understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his son, Yeshua HaMashiach. This is the true Elohim and eternal life. So in that verse 21, I read verse 20, didn't I? Verse 21.
That's okay.
Little children, keep yourselves from what?
Idols.
So we know that we're not supposed to worship any other Elohim and not bow down ourselves to any graven images, because that's what idols are. Okay. 1 Timothy 6:1. The book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6 and verse 1. Let, and when you have it, you say amen.
Amen.
Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of Elohim and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Now, in this, you know, they're using this as a way of blasphemy, only being to blaspheme the name of Yah. But if you take his name and you say you belong to him and you don't honor him, you blaspheme him. Okay, so that commandment, which was the third commandment, don't take his name in vain, is to not to come into a relationship with him and treat it as worthless. You, if you blaspheme his doctrine and you say you belong to him, you're doing the same thing. Now, the fourth commandment, which is remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy, there's no specific verse in the New Testament that says to do that. Okay? You won't find one. You will find where it tells you not to be judged concerning the days. And even that is taken out of context. Okay. So let's look at the verse that they use to release themselves from the Sabbath day. Colossians chapter 2. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. Now, they will take this, say that they don't have to keep it. You can't judge me if I don't do these things. That's the way that they interpret that, okay? But if this is a shadow, if you put your shadow up on the wall, can you make out your facial features?
No.
But can you draw an outline of the shadow?
Yeah.
Okay. And so these things, we have an outline that we're told to keep. The feast days, the holy days, the new moons, the Sabbath days, they are part of that outline that we're supposed to keep. But because it tells them, don't let any man judge you, then that word judgment only comes when we are what the law does. The law shows us when we are what? In offense to it, when we break it, then we are judged. But if we are righteous, then we are never judged. Why? Because we don't offend. We don't offend in the law. We don't break it. So this is really telling to them that to judge in meat, the dietary law. But were the new saints told to keep the dietary laws?
Yeah, I think so.
They were. Were they told to keep away from meat that were strangled?
Yeah.
And from blood?
Yeah.
Are those part of the dietary laws?
Yeah.
Okay, the most I knew that they were eating, would be eating anything and what? Everything?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, all right, whatever you eating, don't strangle it and don't eat its blood. And then when you learn the dietary laws, and you'll know that also these other beasts are what? Unclean? So you've been eating that shrimp and you've been eating that pork chop, then for you it was not unclean by your own culture, but now you want to come close to me, and I have said that it is what?
Unclean.
And so they don't want to look at those laws, okay? So, or in drink, there are, you know, the most I don't want us to be what? Drunkards?
Drunkard.
Okay, I don't know, except for if you're up under a Nazarite vow. Under a Nazarite vow, then if you take that vow, then you cannot drink what? Grape products? Consume grape products?
Strong drink.
You can't even drink grape juice. If you take the Nazarite vow, you cannot have anything to do with a grape. It goes down that deep. Not just strong drink. Anything that has to do with a grape, he said that it was unclean to a Nazarite. Or new moon. Now, the new moon, he said, was a covenant for how long?
Forever.
So he didn't cancel it out. He said, don't break it. Don't get judged in breaking it. And or the Sabbath days. Those days are perpetual as well.
Wow.
Now, we may not be able to do the sacrifice because we don't do sacrifices for sin anymore, not killing the animals. Messiah took the place of that. But then we don't have, do we have the temple and the altar at the Most High required that the sacrifices be done at?
No.
We don't. So we can't do them. And he made sure that we couldn't do that. He said, you know, it's a sin to do it when he doesn't provide the altar and the temple. And not only that, when he destroyed that temple, I now know that inside of that temple, and the reason that he destroyed it is because the mercy seat, the altar of prayer, a couple other pieces were not in the new temple. So the very thing that they needed to make atonement for Israel was not there. And they were faking it for over 500 years. Just faking it. I was like, wow. That's why Messiah had to come sinless. There was no way for it to make an atonement for himself. If he had sinned. So the Most High said, I got to do away with that system. The perfect sacrifice that he couldn't go into the Holy of Holies or take his blood into the Holy of Holies on the earth because the mercy seat was not in the Holy of Holies on the earth. He had to take it where?
To the cross.
Into the heavens.
Oh.
He took the blood into the heavens. That's why he said, I have to ascend. I got to return to the Father. And it says that he took his blood into the Holy of Holies and placed it at the altar in the Holy of Holies in heaven. Not on the earth. Because it didn't exist on the earth anymore. The Most High didn't allow them to bring it back from Babylon. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. The book of Hebrews chapter 4. And we're dealing with the Sabbath day. And why the church is saying that, you know, they're not up under these things. And that they don't have to keep the Sabbath day. It's like they say, Messiah fulfilled the law. Well, yeah, he fulfilled the law, but that doesn't negate you're having to fulfill the law, or I having to fulfill the law. Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 1. We're going to read through verse 11. And when you have it, just say amen.
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 Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, and any of you should seem to come short of it. So he said, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, and any should seem to come short of entering into that promise, his rest, okay? Now, this rest is coming from the Most High saying that, hey, people who were in the wilderness, all those that were 20 years old and upward of the original group, they never entered into his rest, and his rest was entering into the what, land?
Yeah.
Okay, and having peace from their enemies, okay? That was his rest. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. I'm on your way?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise. And Elohim did rest the seventh day from all his works. And this is the place again. Now they should know that the seventh day is the Sabbath, because he spoke on the Sabbath and said what? He spake in a certain place on which day?
On the seventh day.
On this wise. And Elohim did rest the seventh day from all his works. Now, I don't know how they're going to change that to the first day.
Mm-hmm.
And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter in therein. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of what? Again, he limits a certain day, saying in to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Yeshua was given them, if Yeshua had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of, what, another day?
Another day, yeah.
There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of Elohim. For he that is entered into his rest, he is also ceased from his own works, as Elohim did from his works. So we have 6 days that we are given to do our own works. That's to make a living. That is to, you know, take care of our own business. And then on the Sabbath day, we cease from those works just like he ceased from his works. He says, so let us therefore labor to enter into that rest. Lest any man fall after the same example of what?
Unbelief.
What are they not believing? Honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. What are they not believing? That the Most High says, if you keep my Sabbath days, then I will be for you and I will go before you. And I will give you rest. I'll give you rest from your enemies. For the word of Elohim is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and unto the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eye of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Yeshua HaMashiach, the son of Elohim, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our what, infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are. In all points he was tempted just as we are, yet he what?
Without sin.
Yeah, without sin. But we want to say, oh, well, he didn't sin, so I don't have to worry about it. I'm in him. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in help in the time of need. Okay, so they will take these verses and they will say that, you know, Messiah is our rest. And we rest from our labors. So they call those labors keeping the law. Okay? But that's not what it was about. The labors were not about not keeping the law. Because no matter what, the Most High wants a lawful people.
Yeah.
So when we see, his work was the creation. Our work is doing his will and keeping his laws is just to be part of what our nature and what we do. When we learn to function in him, he's not going to be accepting of us just saying, well, you know what? Brother Miles kept it, so I don't have to keep it. Messiah kept it, I don't have to keep it. It's fulfilled in Messiah. And I'm in him. How are you in him if you willfully disobey him? You're not in him. So we have to understand that this is a great problem in the church itself. Now, the Sabbath itself, we'll get into this more, but let's look at the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm just showing you the verse that they use to say they don't have to keep the Sabbath. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's get verses 1 and 2.
Amen.
And amen. Thank you. Children, obey your parents in Yah, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So we know that we're supposed to honor our mother and father by the Torah. Ten Commandments.
Is now in the conference.
So we know that we're supposed to honor our father and our mother, and that we're supposed to obey them. Do not murder. Let's go to Romans chapter 19. Chapter 13, I'm sorry. Romans chapter 13, verse 9. Now we read these, we didn't read these earlier. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment. So, not to murder. We're told that thou shalt not kill.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Now, it's understood that that is not to murder because there is a time to kill. If somebody's coming into your house and they are going to do you bodily harm, you have the right to defend yourself. And if you kill them while defending yourself, it's not considered what? Murder? Consider self-defense. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15. Book of First Peter. Okay, somebody got a speaker on in the background. First Peter chapter 4. Verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a what?
Murderer.
Did it say a killer?
No, I said murderer.
Okay. Or as a thief, or as an evildoer, as a busybody in other men's matters. So don't be a murderer. Don't take somebody's life unjustly for no reason. If you're in the backyard and you are cutting wood or whatever, and you're using an axe and you raise the axe and the axe handle, the axe head falls, you know, flies off and it goes and it flies and hits somebody in the head and kill them, did you murder them?
No.
No, you killed them though, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it wasn't intentional. Okay, so the scripture's always been intended to address murder. Go to 1 Corinthians, chapter 6. This is about do not commit adultery. Let's get verse 9 and 10. First Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. When you have it, just say amen.
Amen.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of Elohim? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate gay people, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. So do not commit what? Adultery.
Right.
Do not steal. Ephesians chapter 4. The book of Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to be getting verse 28. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. And the word of Elohim reads, and when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that need it. So let him that stole do what? Steal no more?
Wow.
Do not steal. Revelation 21 and 8. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
And the word of the Most High reads, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. They'll burn it. Lying is what? Giving false testimony.
Yeah.
Which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, confusion, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of Elohim cometh on the children of disobedience. So when the scriptures say not to covet, covetousness is mentioned in what, this verse? Mortify your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, confusion, and what? Covetousness, which is idolatry. So we have, those are 9 of the 10. Okay, that are in the 10 instructions. Now, let's talk about the Sabbath day. And let's look at where the saints really released from keeping the Sabbath. Okay. Let's look at where they released from it. Go to Matthew chapter 12. But see, this is, you know, there's some things that are right in front of people, but they want to, they choose to, as I said, this is written to show what's really in your heart. Is it in your heart to keep these things, or is it in your heart not to? Matthew chapter 12, starting in verse 1. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
At that time, Yeshua went on what day?
The Sabbath day.
Through the corn, and his disciples were hungry, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold thy disciples that which do the Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. And I'm going to read 3 and 4 as well. Hold on. Well, I skipped to verse 5, but I really want to read verses 3 and 4 as well. But he said unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was a hunger? And they that were with him, how he entered into the house of Elohim and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are what?
Blameless.
Now, why are they blameless? He said they profane the Sabbath, but they're what?
Blameless.
How were they profaning the Sabbath? Is the Sabbath day a day of rest?
Yes, it is.
Did they have to work in the temple?
Yes.
Okay, so were they resting?
No.
But it was not accounted to them as sin because it was something that was required for them to do on the Sabbath. Okay. But the law said to what? The law of the Sabbath say that what? Honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy and rest.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's supposed to work. You don't see an exception in there in the law for the what? The priesthood. Okay, but they're held blameless because it's required. If the people are coming to make sacrifice on the Sabbath, somebody got to take it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. But I say unto you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. Okay, now, but if you had known what this means, I will have mercy in that sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even over the what?
The
I'm doing the work of the Father on the Sabbath. And those that are with me are doing what?
The work of the Father
on the Sabbath. The work of the Father on the Sabbath. Father works on the Sabbath. It was given to us. So, the problem was not doing, not keeping Sabbath. The problem is what you what? Do on the Sabbath?
Right.
Okay. So let's go to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 and just hit verse 10. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
And the word of the Most High reads, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yah, thy Elohim. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is in thy gate. So he said, do we see an exception here for the priesthood?
No.
No exception there. But they worked every Sabbath. And we just, what did you ever even think of it? Think about it. How is it that they're not breaking that commandment?
So they're not even mentioning it. It doesn't say don't teach the word on Sabbath.
Well, it says you can do that, but the priesthood, they did sacrifices on the Sabbath. They did circumcisions on the Sabbath.
Mm.
If the eighth day for the male child fell on the Sabbath, child to keep the law of Moses, because there's a law saying that the child had to be circumcised on the what, eighth day?
Eighth day.
If that fell on a Sabbath, guess what? They circumcised that child. But they were not considered to be what? Guilty of breaking the Sabbath. That they were held what? Blameless. But there's no exception here for the priesthood. Okay? So, what the Most High is trying to show us and teach us in that is, if they didn't circumcise the child on the eighth day, would the child and the parent have sinned?
Yeah.
They would have sinned because they would not have gotten the child circumcised on the eighth day. That would have broken a commandment. Okay, so rather than the sin being on the people for not being able to keep the commandment, the Most High allowed the priesthood to do what? To do the work?
To do the work
on the Sabbath and not be blamed for it. So Messiah comes along and he says, hey, me and my disciples are traveling. Now did they prepare that corn that they picked? Did they cook it?
No. No.
They ate it raw. But because they picked the corn, then they want to say that they what? Violated the Sabbath?
Yeah.
That's like going to the refrigerator and getting your salad out of it on the Sabbath that you prepared the day before. So they're trying to, it's not about whether they were keeping the Sabbath, it's about what they were doing on the Sabbath. Can everybody understand that?
Yes.
But they were still keeping what?
The
Sabbath. Let's keep going. Go back to Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to start at verse 10. And when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? On the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. Now, what is Messiah keeping the Sabbath?
Yes.
Is this about him keeping the Sabbath?
No.
It's not really about if he's keeping the Sabbath. It's about what is he doing on the Sabbath.
Right.
Is it lawful for you to what?
Heal.
Heal. Or work, right? And he said unto him, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and do what?
Lift it out.
Said, what man do you know that if one of his sheep fall into a hole, that he's not going to work on the Sabbath day and what, lift him out?
Right.
Would you leave the sheep in the hole and let it die? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do what on the Sabbath?
Well,
on the Sabbath, it's lawful to do well. If somebody calls you and they say they have a flat tire, they need you to pick them up, and they're stuck on the freeway on the Sabbath. Did you say you can't go and get them because it's the Sabbath?
No.
No.
No, you should go and get them. That's a good work. Somebody wants you to take them to the Lakers game or the Tennessee Titans or the Minnesota Vikings. Wants you to take them to a game on the Sabbath. Should you take them?
No.
No. See, because that has nothing to do with doing what? Well?
No, right.
That's pleasure.
Okay. Then saith he unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched forth his hand, and it was restored whole, like the other. So, it's all about, is it for your own what? Pleasure? If somebody don't have a car, they're not able to go get groceries, it is the Sabbath day, that's the only day that they got to go get the groceries. Did you take them to go get groceries?
Yes.
It's lawful to what? Do good on the Sabbath. You don't let somebody starve, and it's really the only time that they got to go. You say, well, I can't take you because it's Sabbath. Now, you might be like, well, hey, I know you had Friday off and you had the money. You didn't go then. Why didn't you go then? Then you might have a case. Some people will do things, but intentionally to try to make you break Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about doing good, and it's about what? Intent. The Most High is a discerner of what? The heart? And is it your intent? You know, is it their intent to make you break Sabbath? Is it their intent to cause you to do something that you wouldn't normally do, all because it's for their convenience? So you have to know who you're dealing with. But it doesn't say that it's necessarily wrong for you to take them. If you know that, hey, they don't really have another day to go, and they don't really have anybody else to take them, then you can take them and feel justified that you are doing what a good work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Sabbath, okay? Because I've seen some people that will, you know, no matter what, they're not going to do anything on Sabbath. You have to wait to the end of the Sabbath. Well, you know, you left that person stranded on the freeway. That wasn't a good thing. When you could have, you know, you could have gone and gotten. Go to Mark chapter 2. Seven and 28. When you have it, say amen.
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 And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Because he's not, now he's coming about talking about the spirit of the Sabbath. Okay, do you know we have the spirit of the law?
Mm-hmm.
What is the intent of the Sabbath? The Sabbath is the intent that the Sabbath was made for man to give man what? Rest? But there can be exceptions to that. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord or Master also of the Sabbath. Are the Pharisees and the Sadducees looking to see if Messiah is keeping Sabbath or what he is doing on the Sabbath?
Looking to see if he's keeping it.
He's keeping Sabbath.
See what he's doing.
They're looking to see what he's doing.
What he's doing on the Sabbath.
Right. And he's trying to let them know that the intent of the Sabbath, yes, to keep your rest, but if there's things that come up that your brother needs you, you won't be held at fault if it's a good deed on the what? Sabbath. They have no way to get wherever. They must be there. You give them a ride. You have not broken Sabbath. You did a good deed on the Sabbath. But you don't let that be your what? An all-time thing?
Right.
You don't let it become your norm? It has to be. You have to look at the what? Circumstance?
Mm-hmm.
You know, your daughter or your son come to you and say, hey, can you drop me off at so-and-so's house? And they're going to do, you know, they don't really have to go there. Then you would be like, hey, you don't really have to go there. And what you got to do can wait till another time. Then, no, I'm not breaking Sabbath. Because you want to go play video games, or you want to go to a cookout or whatever. It's not a life or death situation. It's not a emergency situation. So you have to look at the intent. Let's get verse 2, Mark chapter 3 and verse 2. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And they watched him, whether he would do what?
Heal him on the Sabbath.
So it's not that Messiah's not keeping Sabbath, but they want to know what he's doing, and they're going to say whatever he's doing, he's what, breaking Sabbath?
Breaking Sabbath.
Okay, but he's already told them that the intent is that if you have one of yours keeping the whole, you try to get me for healing somebody on the Sabbath. And a person is better than a sheep. A person is worth more than a sheep. Now, they would circumcise. And I think I have to find those verses. Let's drop down to verse 4. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? Or to do evil. save life or to kill. But they what?
Held their peace.
Why did they hold their peace? If it was just all about what type of work you're doing or doing work, period, do you think they would have held their peace?
No.
No. Because they know that he has them dead to rights. And so I want to find where he's telling them, where he's showing them that they circumcise on the Sabbath, okay? We're going to stop here for tonight before my hip gets sore. Hold on. Let me look this verse up. Thought I had it in here already. Go to John. John chapter 7. And let's look at the Pharisees. Now, Messiah said, is it good to heal on the Sabbath, right?
Right.
Or to kill. John chapter 7. And let's get started in verse 19. Did not, and when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keep it. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keep the law? Why go you about to kill me? Why you want to kill me? You ain't doing it what you're supposed to do. The people answered and said, thou has a what, a devil?
A devil.
Who goes about to kill you? Yeshua answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and you all marvel. I healed somebody, and you all were what, amazed? On the Sabbath. Yeah. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. Who was circumcision given to?
It was given to Abraham.
Amen. It wasn't of Moses. Moses just expanded on it, okay? And you on the Sabbath day circumcise what?
Amen.
Wait a minute. Circumcision is a work, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They are cutting somebody and making them hurt, drawing blood on the what, Sabbath day?
Sabbath day.
And Messiah is healing people on the Sabbath day, and they got a what problem? Okay. So he says, a man on the Sabbath day received circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken. Are you angry at me because I have made a man every whit? I have made a man whole. I have healed him on the what?
Sabbath
day. You circumcised him. He hurting. You drawn blood to keep the law of Moses. And then I heal somebody on Sabbath day and you got a problem with it. Doesn't that sound hypocritical?
Yeah.
Judge not according to the what?
Appearance.
appearance of it, but judge righteous judgment. If you can circumcise somebody on the Sabbath day to keep the law of Moses, surely I can heal somebody on the Sabbath day, because I'm not breaking the law by healing. There is no law saying thou shalt not heal on the Sabbath. But it's doing the work of Elohim. And if you're doing the work of Elohim, then Messiah says you can do it. On what?
On the Sabbath.
So if that means healing somebody, if that means casting out unclean spirits, if that means feeding someone who's not able to feed themselves, like you take part of your Sabbath meal, or you prepare the meal on the day of preparation, and then you go to a nursing home, or you go to the hospital because you know somebody's in the hospital and you want to give them a meal. Is that a good deed? Then you can do it. Now, for your pleasure, you are serving your fellow man, and did he not tell us to, and if you take it to the prison and you give it to somebody, are you doing a good deed?
Yes,
yeah. Okay. So Messiah is trying to show us that and show them that the intent of the Sabbath is that you rest and you take time to spend with the Most High. But if there are things that are good deeds that need to be done, you are not prohibited from what?
If you don't.
Not prohibited from doing them. Now, you want to go get your hair done?
No.
Your nails done?
No.
You want to go out to dinner with friends?
No.
You know, because let's go to Isaiah chapter 58. This is what we got to make sure that this is the frame of mind you got to always be in when it comes to Sabbath. Isaiah chapter 58. And I believe it's verse 13, but let me get there. Yeah, Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. When you have it, say amen.
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 If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, from doing whose pleasure?
Your pleasure.
Your pleasure. If you serving your fellow man and it is something that is required, they are in need, truthfully in need, something that they have to have on that day, they can't cook for themselves, they are bedridden, they are in the hospital, they're in prison, they don't have the money, maybe their family, you know, maybe they maybe they don't have the money and they have been not eating, and you want to take them something to eat. That's a good work. Maybe they are homeless and you want to go feed the homeless on the Sabbath. You can do that. And not to do thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. But if thou wilt delight thyself in Yah, I will cause you to rise. Did I miss something? Yeah, I did. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure, with verse 13 again, on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, holy of Yah, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasures, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight in thyself in Yah, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of Yah has spoken it. So Yah, first, he wants our heart to honor him.
Right.
And our focus to be on him. But then if there are things that need to be done that are not for your own pleasure, but they need to be done, I'm not talking about like pay your bills or go get groceries for yourself, because you should have did that, earlier in the week for yourself?
Yeah.
But then maybe there's somebody that works Monday through Friday, and they got paid on Friday, and that's when they had the money. And they don't have anything in the house to eat. And if that's the case, and you know that's the case, then go ahead and take them to go get their groceries. If you're the only way that they got to do it. That's a good work. You're not intentionally, trying to violate the Most High Sabbath.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You're not seeking to do your own pleasure. So there are things that we can do on Sabbath. We just got to make sure that it ain't for our own pleasure. And with that being said, we're going to stop here. And we're going to look at, as far as the Sabbath goes, after Messiah left, were people still keeping Sabbath? Okay, so we'll do that on next week. Were the Gentiles keeping the Sabbath? We're going to look at that on next week. With that being said, are there any questions on anything that we covered tonight?
No.
Okay. Then if there are no questions, see if anybody takes me any questions. All right, amen. All right, my sister Sarah. Sister Clara. I always want to say Sarah. Sister Clara. Glad you found that your question is, do we feel disappointed when we have to break the commandments, or do we find it convenient?
I feel.
Well, I'll let your sisters answer that.
Do we feel disappointed?
He said, do we feel disappointment when we break his commandments, or do we find it convenient?
Disappointed and scared.
Right, amen. Disappointed and scared if we're breaking them. But if we're not breaking them, as in if we go do a good work on the Sabbath, then we shouldn't feel disappointed?
Right.
No.
We shouldn't feel scared?
No.
Okay. Because everything is about the intent. Okay. She said that was just a commentary, not a question. My bad.
Amen.
The bottom line is, if we're doing good, the Most High said he searches the heart.
Yeah.
And so if we know that we're doing a good deed and that's why we're doing it, that we are, it's right in our heart, we're not trying to dishonor him, we're not trying to be disobedient, then we don't have anything, we don't have to fear. And we don't have to feel like we've done anything wrong.
All right.
Now, if we feel like we've done something wrong, then you probably sinned.
Huh.
Okay. So you got to know, from what you're operating from. Because it says, to him that something is sin, is sin to who?
Him.
To him, that person. If you know it's Shabbat and you are doing a good work, and somebody comes up and says, you're doing something on the Shabbat, what they're doing is trying to condemn you?
Yeah.
Trying to make you feel guilty?
Yeah.
Trying to say that you're a hypocrite?
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, if you're doing a good work, you ain't got to feel guilty about it.
Right.
Now, if they catch you at the football game or catch you at the hair salon, then you might, they might have something on you. All right. With that being said, we will meet on Thursday, y'all willing. And may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear the Most High and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Amen.
And I hope you get better, Brother Kyle.
Thank you. One thing is going to...
I pray that the Father heal you in the name of Jesus.
I accept that in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Thank you. I accept it. I pray that he could do that as well. I still got to do my due diligence because I cannot walk around like this. I cannot walk around because this right here, oh, man, I couldn't even get out of the bed. So I pray, you know, that he heals me and I believe him for it. In the meantime, I'm going to take some stuff that as long as I'm hurting, I don't hurt. Because this type of pain is debilitating. All right. With that being said, you know, we are on Blog Talk, so let me stop that. We'll meet again on Thursday, the business meeting. And we will meet on Friday.